This is an international podcast transmission. Is anyone out there? If you're listening, you've reached the No Fixed Agenda podcast.
How's your planner thing going, dude? Both of them or just one of them?
No, just my right. Which really fucking sucks because last year at this time, my left one was a pain in the ass. Yeah. I actually put myself in a boot.
Yeah.
And I know that because the 24-hour event, I was walking around in a boot.
I remember that.
So I'm like, fuck, it's been a year.
We're not here to talk about fucking.
We're not here to talk about
plantar fasciitis, bro.
We gotta digress. Now that everybody knows that I've got fucking foot issues.
Foot issues. And he's walking around barefoot, you guys. He looks like a fucking poor boy over here, like homeless and shit. I'm like, dude, he's over here like, fuck, dude, my boy, do you need me to buy you shoes, bro? Like, fuck. Like,
yeah, that's one thing I don't need is just these shoes. Yeah, fuck, dude. Out of all the shoes that I own, I don't have any on right now.
Yes, 100%. Yeah. And that's insult to injury, bro. Like, you fucking own, like, a million fucking pairs of shoes. Your wife calls me and sends me text telling me to talk to you about stop buying shoes and you're walking around fucking barefoot.
I know.
Like, dude, how irony of all of that,
I
bro.
Know.
Like,
I know. Tell me about it. Shit.
But let's switch the topics. We're here
Why are we here today?
We're here to talk about dote nuts.
Yeah. As Kim said.
And Kim McGreer came on the podcast and talked about her whole journey of creating her business and how she got into Shark Tank, the journey of Shark Tank and where she was at in her business and where she was from slanging donuts out of the fucking back of her truck to being on Shark Tank and having a successful.
Yeah, it was cool. Like, as somebody who likes Shark Tank and likes to watch that stuff, because I love to see the business journey of that thing and to have her come in and kind of give a little insight where she could on how that process works, because that's always been kind of cool to me, like how they get people to apply for that, or do they reach out to some groups, and then what the process is during that time frame and the dynamics between everybody in the studio. It was really cool to hear out and just to, again, hear her really cool story about how she got started. And it started just on somebody, again, just like most business owners, like trying to find a solution to a personal problem.
Yeah.
Or, you know, to something that's like, I need to help my family.
Yeah.
And it was really cool to see that.
Yeah. So it's not to mention this story was amazing, but Kimmy in herself is fucking hilarious, bro.
Oh man. It was awesome.
The laughs, and her laughs is just as contagious as my laugh.
I will say that I almost didn't need a mic on either one of you at that point in time, because I felt like the more Kimmy was getting excited, the more she was like leaning into us.
Yeah.
And it was just like, okay, we could just go straight forward on this.
we're both from LA. We both come from the hood, bro. So it's like, we've been trying to get her in for a long time. And this was around, like, we were trying to get her in last year, I think it was, in our second season. And
I'm glad we didn't.
Yeah, I'm
so
glad.
Because we didn't know.
We didn't know about the Shark Tank thing. Like,
and it was cool that she was able to come in after that fact and do it. So it was cool.
He is going to knock your socks off with the story in itself.
She had some good stories. If you're in Oceanside, go check out our little pink store.
Oh, pink store, dote nuts.
It's right over there off the next to the Trader Joe's off Vista Way. If you're in Oceanside or in North County area of San Diego, go check out that store, because it's really, really fun.
And the donuts, they taste very good. They don't taste like healthy donuts.
They don't taste like shit.
They don't taste like shit. That should be their new catchphrase.
As Mr. Wonderful said. So go check it out, guys.
The No Fixed Agenda podcast is brought to you by Bubs Naturals. Their mission is simple: live better, longer. Bubs helps fuel people to reach their maximum human potential through supplements sourced from nature's highest quality ingredients, all by giving 10% of profits back to charity. That's right, people, 10% back to charity. Learn more about their NSF for sport certified collagen peptides and electrolyte drink mix at bubsnaturals.com.
We are goat nuts now.
All right, let's say it right. Okay? Let's
get goat nuts. No,
get that right.
Goat nuts.
Don't nuts.
Don't nuts.
Don't nut.
Don't. Oh, don't.
Can I can make some bucket jokes right here?
I mean, we're already started.
Jokes here,
but so we got Kimmy Aguirre here with Don't Nuts, and it used to be something else, though, right? Did you rename it?
I didn't rename it, but it was a journey. How about that?
Yeah, so, that's what it is.
Okay, so I started off trying to lose some weight, uh-huh. and part of that was giving up sweet, sugar, flour, uh-huh. all those things. And so it was a journey to get skinny, right? Yeah. And so in that journey, I realized I can't live without sweets. Like, really, this is, and so I'm like, this is not sustainable. Yeah. And so I went to the store and I tried to buy healthy.
Donuts?
Anything, right? Yeah. I'll take anything. And it was freaking trash. It was like, how? I can't survive on this, right? Yeah. Like, sugar is almost a comfort food, right? That's why.
So
the biggest killer of Mexicans, yeah. right? And so I went into the kitchen and I took ingredients. It's like an episode of Chopped, right? I took ingredients that I could use and I started just playing with them. And so, of course, the first ones were like hockey pucks. My kids would like chuck them against the wall. And as I started playing with the recipe, I developed Donut, but it wasn't called Donut at the time. People just called it like Kimmy Gets Skinny Donuts. Yeah. So one day I'm like washing dishes and the name came to me, Donut.
Yeah.
So I like, okay, I can't say it out loud. My phone hears me.
So phone hears everything.
And so, yeah, it does. And so I went to see if the name was taken and it wasn't. So I felt like it was for me. God gave it to me.
Yeah.
And so I quickly took everything I could find. Like I trademarked the name. Like I didn't know where I was going to go with it, but I knew the name was like mine. And so I started selling it, honestly, like gym to gym. I was like selling it like in the back of my car. Like people would show up. Like it was crazy.
Like have you ever seen the movie The Pursuit of Happiness? And he's selling things out of the back of his car, like these machines. I can imagine you having donuts in the back of your car going, yo, gym to gym, buy my stuff. Like,
Nike selling stuff out of the trunk, right?
And it was like the most ratchet almost thing. I like printed the labels on my husband's printer and like I put in these janky boxes. Like that was like how I started, but people loved it because I found that there's a lot of people that love sweets. Uh-huh. We want to lose weight. We don't want to be fluffy. We try to find the healthier alternative. And then we quit because we all realize that eating healthy sucks, right? Because it doesn't taste good. So it's not sustainable.
Yeah.
And so then I just shifted from Kimmy Gets Skinny, which is like a journey for me.
It's a never-ending journey.
I didn't say Kimmy is skinny. Okay? Let's clear that name right now.
Getting skinny. Yes. How's that?
There you go.
Sometimes she gets there, sometimes she's not. You know what I mean?
Hey, it depends on the season, all right?
Yeah. I'm in my entrepreneur season.
There you go, baby. I love it, dude.
Along the way, I went more focused on the donut, right? So that's ultimately, you know, what I focus on. And so I'm getting away from my journey almost. I'm still on the journey. It's a forever journey.
Forever journey.
But it's more, it's the product. That's what I do is the donut.
Yeah, it was an amazing intro, by the way. We got to ask the question first before we get too deep into the conversation.
What would be your business tender profile? What's your
elevator? It was that kind of podcast.
What is?
Don't worry, Mario approved.
I should have known. It's Omar that invited me.
So it pretty much comes down to what's your elevator pitch to get people to continue to listen to this episode?
Just an average girl mom that went from making donuts in her kitchen and selling them in the back street, in the parking lot, to hugging Mark Cuban 2 months later on national TV.
There you go.
I love it.
You and I are meeting for the first time today. So
that's right.
I don't have any background of you except for what I've seen on TV and what I've read on your website and stuff.
So should I walk out now?
We're done.
See ya.
So I love learning about people and being a small business owner. I love hearing the backstory of everything. So are you from Oceanside area? Are you from Southern California? And how did you, what was that point where you got to, I need to find something that is a little bit healthier. What was that journey to that, to get to that point?
So I am actually from LA. I met my husband in high school. We're high school sweethearts. We have five kids. And so I've actually been a stay-at-home mom for 15 years, like many years. But prior to that, I was a marketing manager for Pepsi. I was their national grassroots marketing manager, which is where I get a lot of my marketing skills is,
which is amazing.
Down in my vault.
So one second. Pepsi, Coca-Cola.
Wow.
Rivalry right here.
Dude.
The backstory is right here.
Well, that's why we
Pepsi,
left, all right?
Coca-Cola.
And we're both from LA.
Yeah. Oh, wow. It's about to get heated in here.
Yeah, which, by the way, your marketing skills are fire. I love watching your content and the stuff that you put out there.
Oh,
everything
thank
from
you.
Your website is amazing. Like, everything you put out there to for people to know your brand, spot on, A+.
Thank you.
But go, keep telling us.
We had just got married, and then my husband lost his job. And so I said, you know, I'm more the free spirit. My husband is not. He's like very vanilla. And so he had lost his job. And I was like, let's move to San Diego. You know what I mean? There's a Legoland, right?
Yeah. And so, where's Legoland?
I don't know. Wherever the wind takes us, right? And we actually ended up. It's crazy how things just happen in your life. I feel like I am a religious person. So I feel like God honestly brought us here because this shopping center where that new wine place is right near like your home mode, that used to be a Sylvan Learning Center up in that area. And my husband landed a job right here. We actually drove down. I was pregnant with our little family. And so I was going street to street looking for a rental or something. And anyways, we ended up finding a place, you know, to call home. And we years later, we actually bought that same house from the owners. So I just feel like just the way things have happened to us. So I was a stay-at-home mom and then COVID hit. And I was, there's a few things that happened. One, my husband is our sole provider. Was.
Yeah. He got a sugar mama now.
He was really heavy. I want to say he was over 300 pounds. And so as a mom that relies on this man for everything, I was scared he was going to get like a heart attack or something. And I decided to just adapt a healthier lifestyle. Then during COVID, both my parents are type 2 diabetic and they got really sick. My dad landed in the hospital and I just realized that there's a lot of things going on around me that called for just a healthier lifestyle. And so my husband needed to be a team. I couldn't say just, okay, you eat healthy, but I'm going to just eat what I want to eat. It's a partnership. I just decided to just eat cleaner and drop some weight. And it was fun. We worked out at 6 a.m.
That's how we met.
That's how you guys met. Okay.
It's funny because when we met, that's the second, technically, when I finally made a decision to go 100% into fitness is where we met at that gym.
Oh, really?
Yeah. And so I was coaching part-time at another gym.
So were you both members?
No, I was a coach.
So you were coach.
I was a coach, and she was a member. And her and Mario were members.
Got it. Right.
And so I was coaching at another gym, and they made an offer. I had told both offers that, or both gyms that where I was thinking about going to, that I was going to resign from my day job and pursue fitness full time. And they both made offers.
Got it.
And I was going to go stay at the gym where I was at because that offer was way better financially, but it was not going to allow me to educate myself and be the coach that I am today. They really wanted me to stay within the confines of their programming, right? And so the other gym where we met, that gym was like, you can do whatever you want. And I was like, say less. And then that's where we met. And I immediately connected with Mario and Kim. Super fun.
And I think that was the great thing about my husband meeting you was he saw so much similarity.
Yeah.
And so then it's just been a journey since then to just eat cleaner, right? Mm. My thing is like Hispanics, We eat for everything. We eat if someone dies, if somebody's born, if someone gets married. Like, that's how we celebrate life.
Yeah.
And so when you take that from somebody, it's almost like we walk around moping. Oh, man. Like, that sucks.
You want me to be depressed, bro? What up?
Yeah. And the great thing about my product, my donuts, is that, you know, it's good for anyone. I have type 2 diabetic customers. I have Weight Watchers next door that after the little AA meeting, I think I'm more than a donut. Hey,
I realized I had a regular donut, not a donut.
I realized, those mashed potatoes. Yeah. I have a lot of bodybuilders. I've done some events with muscle contests. Yeah. I have all walks of life. And the best part is, you are happy about eating healthy. They're not empty calories. It's just, it's sweet potato oats. I make my own oat flour. It's very clean and it's very good. Yeah. If you saw my episode on Shark Tank, I was so nervous going in, because if you ever watch the show, Mr. Wonderful is like brutally honest.
Yeah.
Like, he does not care to hurt your feelings. And so I remember being in the dressing room and thinking, I was so nervous. I remember listening to Eminem.
Lose yourself.
I knew it.
Bobbing the head.
So here's the thing with Shark Tank is, even if you record, you have no guarantee of getting on there. Because they need to make sure that your chemistry for TV. If you're out there and you're like, this is my fork, I invented it 2 years ago. Like, people are going to flip the channel. They're like, okay, this person is not. So I was like, I'm bringing a yodel. I'm going to do everything I can to get. This is my one shot. So I listened to Eminem over and over. And the one thing that I was thinking was like, what is Mr. Wonderful going to say when he bites into it? Because, you know, it's not for everyone. If you think you're biting into Krispy Kreme, you're not.
It's close, though. I ain't gonna lie. It's close.
I have some customers come in and they're like, this is not Krispy Kreme. And I'm like, yes, girl, it is not Krispy Kreme. Did you hear sweet potatoes, egg whites?
Yeah, there's four ingredients, right?
Five.
You know, yeah.
For the basic. But let's just say if you add lemon bar, now it has lemon.
Yeah.
You know what I mean?
Yeah. Five basic ingredient donuts, dude.
And the sugar, the sweetener is monk fruit.
Yeah.
A lot of people don't know. It's not sugar. You can't compare sugar to sugar. It's sweet, but it's not sugar. So if you're expecting sugar, you're not. It's the zero calories.
But
so,
there's the same release. The same thing.
Right. Yeah. So I was like, what is Mr. Wonderful going to say? Is he going to bite into it and say, this tastes like shit? Like on national TV? But no, he bites into it and he literally, which is like, one of my most favorite quotes from the whole thing is he's actually don't taste like shit. And I was like, yes.
Yeah, I remember that. I was like,
yeah. And even Damon John, he bit into it. He goes, no, this can't be. These are so good. There wasn't one shark that didn't like it. And to me, that was like, that's what it's about. Creating something that is healthy. They're not empty calories, but that people enjoy eating.
I have a lot of questions.
Okay.
A million.
I have a lot of questions.
Watch out, though, because this guy likes to go into rabbit holes. So.
I do. But
okay, I'm here for it.
There's a lot of questions I have, but I have a lot of pre-show questions
here. Okay.
Because I want to get into your store is in Oceanside here.
Right.
It's local to us. Going from creating the recipe for a donut in your house to starting up the actual business. Kind of walk us through that really quick.
Right.
What was the mentality of, oh my God, this is actually something that I could do and see it going into an actual business?
I'll tell you something that was very pivotal was I almost burned my house down. So I was baking so many donuts a day from my kitchen because
this is when you're slang in the gym.
In a freaking parking.
Yeah. She like the elote man.
Hold on,
man.
Let me open my gym bag. You know what I mean?
She like the tamale elote man.
Yeah.
I got tamales.
Yes. And then it's the middle of COVID, so we're all with our masks.
They're like slanging donuts with the mask on.
One second. So I literally almost burned my house. I'm making all these donuts, right? And my oven is not equipped for this. It's just not. I didn't know that. This was not a business venture. It just kept progressively happening. And so I happened to be in the kitchen. Normally I turn the oven off and I like leave, right? Because I'm a mom. So I'm like folding clothes or something, right? Oh. And so all of a sudden I'm in the kitchen and flames start coming out of the oven. And so I was like, I turned off the oven, I threw water, and I called my husband. I was like, the kitchen. And so my husband's like, oh my gosh, thank goodness that, you know, you were here. We would have burned the house down. Yeah. And we bought another stove. And my husband was like, okay, like, you can't burn the house down. So like, where do you want to go with this? And I was like, I don't want it to be a business. Okay. Because I don't think I'm ready for that commitment, okay. But I don't want to stop. I've always thought that entrepreneurship is the most difficult thing. I've never cried so much more, not even in labor. Amen, sister. Have I cried as much?
Amen.
I just cried the other day.
Crying is part of the job. Yeah. No,
right? If you're an entrepreneur and you haven't cried, you're not an entrepreneur yet.
Yeah, no. And so I was like, I didn't want to stop. So I knew that I didn't want to stop. So then I rented a little commercial kitchen, like you buy hours. And I started baking from there. And I became a approved vendor for a gym, ramping up orders. I was doing very good. I was traveling like San Jose. Like I was like, my luggage were donuts.
Yeah.
Okay. That's and crazy. And I would sell out within 5 minutes. I didn't even have, I couldn't even carry enough of this product. And so I knew I didn't want to stop because I was having a really good time. And then I was outgrowing the hours in the commercial kitchen. Mm. And so I remember this was like one of those core memories. I was at a birthday party at my best friend's house and her mom says, so where do you want to go with this?
Everybody keeps on asking you, right? Exactly.
And I'm like, I don't even know where I want to go with this. And she was like, where do you want to go with this? It's the middle of COVID. And I was like, if I could just dream big, let's just entertain the thought. I would like to open up my own store, maybe bake out of my own store. And so she said, where? Trader Joe's Shopping Center. And so she goes, you know that because of COVID, there's a lot of empty spots. She was like, if I were you, I would go down and take a drive and see what happens. So that night, me and my husband were going to Chili's with the kids. And I have that picture, actually. I posted it the other day on my website, on my Instagram. So we're in the Trader Joe's Shopping Center. It's about 9 o'clock and I see my spot. And I told my husband, just stop right here. He goes, what are you doing? I said, I'm just going to manifest something.
Yeah. So
I jumped out. I'm going to get emotional. I jumped out of the car and I said, take my picture. Oh. And he goes, okay. And it says for lease. He said, okay. So he takes a picture and I didn't know how. I didn't know what the heck I was getting myself into, but I knew that's what I wanted. And 3 months later, I was signing the lease of the place.
Oh, that's awesome.
Yeah.
So,
an interesting fact about that is I remember I called, I was so naive. I feel like you are naive when you start a business, right? You don't know what you're getting yourself into.
All you got is dreams and rainbows.
And the property management's Kimco, which they're huge, right? They own my shopping center. They own across the street. They own like where TJ Maxx is. They own a lot. Yeah. And I remember I talked to one of the main guy that does all the leasing. And he says, you don't have any experience. You have no experience. You're very limited with what you can do. And you've only been operating like out of your like kitchen for a year. Like really, they don't really let you move in. And he was like, but I love your product. Mm. And he was like, I'm going to bring your product to a board meeting and see if they want to take a shot with you.
Wow.
That's crazy.
And so he picked up some donuts and then he said, we're going to charge you double the amount of like deposit. And he's like, we're going to give you a shot. We're going to let you move in.
And that's crazy to me. Even because this is
during COVID.
During COVID or just after COVID.
This was actually, when I signed my lease, it was like that year, we're all still wearing masks. We have to work out outside.
And
like it's all that.
There's so many, and as you said, there's a lot of businesses that have closed up and not there. And it's really strange that they would even look at that as being picky of, oh, we've actually got somebody who wants to come in and actually take over space. They were still in this, let's give you a little shot.
I remember I talked to them and I was like, my husband was like, it's empty. And Kimco has so much money. Like,
we don't give a shit.
We don't need you. We don't need your.
We need somebody that's going to be in there for the long haul. They let me. And it's actually an old Pizza Hut.
Yeah.
And I took the red walls down. I changed them pink. And yeah.
I think you never know what you're getting into when you're an entrepreneur. You're absolutely right. Jeff and I have showed many of stories and you're sitting there crying. But I think it's not just the donuts. It's the passion and the love behind it, in my opinion. You did it because you wanted to save your husband and help him out and to help yourself out. I think you're sharing that experience with the community around you. I think that's something very powerful, Kim. Very powerful. And I think God, and I believe in God too. I think God had a freaking story for you because you're like, how ironic that you get a place that's an old Pizza Hut. And I met with Mario right after you guys signed the lease and you guys were starting to do this stuff, right? Because this is their heart. I'm telling you, their family's heart is amazing. And so I'm getting ready to start my own gym. And I'm like, I want to meet with other entrepreneurs that are starting up so that I can learn lessons from him or her. And so Mario met me at the Jack in the Box in front of your place after you signed the lease. And you guys are still getting the fixtures and doing all these other things. And he opened up everything. He's like, this is my QuickBooks account. This is what I got to do. This is what I did. And I was like, and that's that. You know what I'm saying? And I think that you getting onto Shark Tank and doing all these other things, like, it is so amazing the blessings that you've had because of who you guys are as a family, in my opinion.
Oh,
so
thank you.
That's amazing. Yeah. I loved every bit of it. I was like, we gotta get her on the podcast. Yeah. Bro. Yeah. Yeah. Question is,
yes.
Do you have more questions, sir? You got plenty. You got plenty. So
you go ahead.
Yeah, I got one, I get one. Yeah, right?
Then we're all answered.
Yeah. So
have at it.
What's it like working with Lori?
Oh, man, you're just jumping right in.
Damn. That's
a great question.
That's a great question.
I feel like
the end?
No. Yeah. That's like we're getting ready to wrap up. You know what I mean?
Because we got to hear the story.
Omar loves to know what the finish is.
Let me turn
to the last page of the book. Oh, that's what's going to happen? Okay, never mind.
No. No. 100%. Because then I go backwards to it. Then I gotta,
apparently, you know what? You do you.
All right.
If you want to ask that question, it's fine.
The question's already been asked. Then we'll go. Then you can ask questions. You can rewind it a little bit. How's that?
That's fine. Go for it.
Okay, here's the plot twist. Ready for it? So we haven't closed our deal yet. I have talked to Lori several times on the phone. Wow. She is amazing. Right. Mark Cuban is a little harder to get a hold of. So I mostly deal with his people. It's a whole team that he has. Lori is more, I've talked to her and she's said she's going to be my superhero. Mm. Things that I feel a lot of times as an entrepreneur, you have to brave the face. Like I heard Rihanna once say, fake it till you make it. Mm. And so a lot of times I have to put on this, I'm really strong face. Mm. And inside I'm just like melting away. And I remember I was on the phone with Lori in December and she's on the phone with me and she said, I had just got a call from Costco saying that they want to carry my product and from another store that's Whole Foods in the Midwest. And I had 10,000 orders for online and my store is crazy and I'm the only baker. And so I'm losing my mind almost. Yeah. And I have 5 kids that I have to give them my undivided attention to. And I was struggling. And so she's on and I haven't closed my deal. And I'm on the phone with her and she says, I'm going to hang in there with you. I'm going to be your superhero.
Mm.
And at that moment, for the first time, I cried and I just let it out. I just felt it's almost like somebody was like saying, it's okay, I got you, which nobody does that as an entrepreneur.
No.
Okay, so my husband, he's my support, but we do 2 very different things. He handles the finances and I bring the business in the door, right? He handles the money when it comes in and I make sure the money comes in. And so we try to be strong. When I'm strong, he's weak. When he's weak, I'm strong. So we complement each other. But at that moment, she said that. And I said, for somebody of this status, owns QVC, owns Scrub Daddy, she got me.
Yeah.
And so it was a very natural conversation. It was very heartfelt. And so it was what I needed to hear at that point. So I haven't talked to Mark personally, but if you saw Shark Tank, he gets up and he's, let's go, Kimmy. Yeah. And at the very end, I had already walked out and I hadn't seen this part. I remember I walked out and they interview you and you're so excited that you made a deal, right? Because it's all raw. Cameras never stop rolling. So producers never know if somebody's going to get a deal or not or what's going to happen. Right. All very natural.
Wow.
And so I walk out and they're interviewing me like raw emotions and everything. So when they're interviewing me, Mark says, this could be the biggest deal we've ever made.
Mm.
And I never heard that part because I had already left. But he's telling that to Kevin and Kendra Scott. And so the producer said, Mark said something really nice about you after. And I'm like, what? What was it? And she was just like, you'll have to watch the episode to know. And even then, they're like, we're not guaranteeing you're going to be on the episode. But if you get
if,
then you would know. And yeah, so I know he loved it. And we talked off camera a few things about how he'd really love to see it franchise. Mm. But I haven't personally talked to him yet because we haven't closed.
It's
a long answer.
That's an all. I love it. I love it. But you talk about a little bit of the story and the journey of this entrepreneur thing. And that's what Jeff and I love to talk about because you're absolutely right. Nobody sits there and hugs you and says, hey, everything's gonna be okay when the kitchen is burning.
And you don't have time to stop and throw yourself a pity party 100%. Either.
You cannot.
I do remember. It was, my second year, I struggled to, I worried that I may have to close. It was one of my worst years in business. I think I've ever publicly said this before, but clearly if you see me on Shark Tank and you're like, I made 50,000.
Lifetime of the
For the year. For the year, I made 50,000. And so it was a tough year. Year two, going into year two. And I remember I sat down in the bathroom and I cried. Mm. And I was crying. And my husband, for the first time, saw that I had almost given up, right? And he says, it's okay if we have to close it. Like, it's okay. You did it. And he's just get through the Shark Tank stuff and see what happens. And mind you, there's like a lot of costs associated to that. You have to foot the bill for the set and all that stuff. And so it was a gamble because I was like already down to threads. And then boy, that night, like when I walked into the tank and I got a deal, like my life changed. Like a few weeks back, I was thinking I was going to close the doors. And then all of a sudden you have five people telling you how amazing you are and that how you're going to be like the next Sprinkles or something. So I was like, that's how entrepreneurship works. And they say you have to be almost like senile to think that in the face of defeat, that you're somehow going to defy all odds and make it work, right? And yeah, it's not a linear path, right? Hell clearly, no. There's been a lot of
ebbs and flows.
A lot of things happened behind the scenes since my Shark Tank debut. My life changed in weeks. And I think that's what, as entrepreneurs, you hold on to, right? That hope that somehow today life will change. But it was life changing, definitely.
Life changing.
Morally, I think I was like, I knew it was my last shot. So going back to it, I listened to Eminem, Lose Yourself, because I knew I had one shot.
Yeah.
That's all I had. And they said to me, if you don't make the cut, like if you're not good for TV, if they don't, you're just not going to make it. And I knew that if I didn't make the show, I wouldn't last long. And so I walked in and I'm like, if you see me walk in, I'm like, damn, like freak. I'm still this Eminem in my head. And so I walked in. And so because I walked in maybe so confident, like the Sharks, like, they almost smirk. They look up. Okay, what is she going to say? Mm. I think at some point I say hello to Donut. And I almost yodeled a little bit because I was like, I got to do whatever I got to do.
Yodel
to
Donut.
Yeah.
I love it.
Nice.
I love it.
I'm curious because I think I've heard in different variety of how companies get on the show. Is it something where you apply?
Yeah.
But doesn't the show also reach out to some brands if they feel that they would be good for the show? Or producers do, I guess.
So it's funny because, okay, so when I announced I was going to get on Shark Tank, oh my goodness, I swear I had at least 20 DMs from people that said, oh, I was going to get on Shark Tank. Oh, I was on Shark Tank and my episode didn't air. Or I was going to, or they DM me to get on Shark Tank. So, like, how many of those people are truth? I don't know. Yeah. But I have heard people say that they were reached out to. That wasn't my experience. So I actually on, if anybody's hearing this, you want to get on Shark Tank. It's actually, I saw an ad on Instagram that said,
what?
Yeah, I've seen that too.
Wow.
Yeah. I actually just saw, I didn't do anything out of the ordinary. I was scrolling like we all do on Instagram, right?
On the toilet.
All of a sudden it said Shark Tank season 16, apply now. And I was like, what? I ain't gonna get on, right? The chances, it's actually, I asked ChatGPT and there's a less than a 0.1% chance that you would get on Shark Tank and get a deal. Like it is so, they get 50,000 submissions every season when it goes up incrementally. So I just applied through Instagram and then I got an email and it said, hey, fill out this application. And so I just kept, and this was not the first time I applied. I actually applied for season 15 and they didn't push me through.
Wow.
Yeah, I got all the way. So you go through.
Do the production interviews?
No, I never got to production.
Oh, you didn't do that?
No.
Okay.
I got to filling out the Instagram application. Then they do like a whole like thorough financial things like that. Mm. And then they interview you. And then I send my product. And then you do a video submission. So I did that twice. But the first time, they never called me back after the video submission. Ugh. And the crazy part is I did that first one with my husband. And so the second time, my husband's like, maybe it's me.
It's not you, it's me.
Maybe it's me. And he's like, how about this time? Don't put me. Like, I have nothing to do with this anyways. Like, he's like behind the scenes. He's like, it's you. So you shine when you're alone. So you do your own video. And a good friend of mine came. I was like, hey, can you just get my iPhone and shoot like a video for me? And she was like, yeah, cool, no problem. And I mean, it was so like basic and no budget type video submission.
Yeah.
I actually posted it on my Instagram. I posted my like a little clip of my video submission. And and then they asked for product and I just kept. But all along the way, they're like, this is not a guarantee. This is not a guarantee. Yeah. It's almost like you can't enjoy the moment. Because they keep telling you, not a guarantee.
Like a little tease,
even when you're recording, they're like, this is not a guarantee. And I'm like.
Sounds like that is the way the TV production works.
You've been on TV too.
I've been on TV too from game show perspective. And they say the same thing. It's, we're going to have you on, but we don't know when it's going to air, if it's going to air. I was on there with a team of people on for a game show, and they actually told my friends that brought me on to be on this show. The production company was like, all right, you need to be the lead person on this because the two teammates don't communicate very well in front of a camera. And it was maybe this is not going to. So this sounds like it still falls in line with a lot of the TV production that side of things is they want good TV and they want the personalities, like you said, coming out there. And it is funny, like you watch the show and over the 16 years, like you can tell the people that are actually just, I don't know how they got on. Cause sometimes, sometimes I feel that they need to put products on that make people think, this guy had this individual has no personality. They don't know anything about their financials.
It almost makes for good TV.
It does. Right? And I think that's kind of one of those things. Like when you watch it enough, you're like, oh yeah, they definitely brought this company on because they don't know enough and it makes good TV and they're definitely not going to get this. And that's, but I also look at too, like from a statistical standpoint, I'm actually interested from these companies that come on and even don't get a deal.
Right.
Like it's got to jump their business up.
Oh, it's skyrocket.
Right. It's got to skyrocket.
So the night before, the taping is in LA. And so I got to my hotel. And so in that same hotel is other entrepreneurs, right?
Yeah.
You're not supposed to talk about your business or you can't even really talk to each other. Right. But we had this little like powwow. Okay, this was going to happen tomorrow. We're going to pick you up, all this stuff. And so they were talking amongst themselves. I almost felt like the outcast. And so they were like, hey, do you know that even if you don't get on, my friend was on it and she said that like, her sales just for getting on Shark Tank were like through the roof.
Jumping up.
You could read online. There's a lot of people that don't even go on to get a deal because they just want the exposure.
And you can actually tell that there's companies that do that by the way that the owner communicates with the sharks. It's like, you know, no, I don't need a deal. I don't need this. I don't need this.
I felt like that about... There was a chapstick guy, and they offered him money, and he was like, I don't know. So, like, he wasn't there to make a deal, right?
He's just there for the exposure. Yeah,
and it's funny, a young kid.
Right, and it's funny because the girl before me, Sugar Dough, she's like a waxing person, so they put her in the dressing room right next to me, okay? And so I had no clue that they would edit it to put us like that. It just happened. That's not, you don't air on chronological order, right? Yeah. It just happened to be like this. So I'm sitting there by myself in my dressing room listening to Eminem. And she's with her husband. She has a baby and she has a model. She has like a whole posse there. And so she's rehearsing her lines. And so I'm like, thin walls. And so she was like, I made $5 million. And I was like, fuck me. Literally felt like shit. I was like, what the? Dude, she even had this guy from, I think, finance come. He's like coaching her. I was like, okay, so what are you going to say? And I'm like, dude, I barely got lunch. I was like, yeah, I'm like the freaking bottom of the barrel here. And they're like, and then she was like, $5 million. And we have, I don't know what, in inventory. And I was like, gosh, dang. I felt so crappy. But that's what we naturally do, right? Yeah. We compare ourselves, right? Yeah. And so I was like, why am I here? I already felt like bad. And I was like, okay, I got to not think about her because she's so successful, right? And she's under 30, dude. Yeah. And I'm like, fudge. Like, I felt like crap. I was like, dang it. But she ends up not getting a deal.
Yeah.
And it's because
actually I felt actually good.
Yeah.
Because I actually taped right after her.
Yeah.
And so I was getting mic'd and I heard them say, how much debt do you have?
Yeah.
And she's like a ginormous amount of debt. And so I was like,
yep.
No problem when I walk in.
I may have only made 50 grand, but I don't have $5 million worth of debt.
I will say that when you said that, they ran Mark Cuban. He's like, oh, whatever.
Yeah, yeah. Yeah, whatever. He's like, I spent that in a weekend.
Yeah, we deserve $5 million. Yeah, right? So I was like, all right, I'm glad I went after her.
So I have also heard, when you go in for everything, what is the way it works? Because I've actually heard that, and I could be wrong.
You have a lot of intel.
I do. I know stuff. So when you walk in, don't they, it's like this, you have to sit there for a second, right? Or because there's a setup and everything of your product and all that stuff. What's the timeline? Because when you walk in, are you going right into the pitch?
Oh, yeah.
Immediately.
Okay. So I had actually... Somebody was telling me that when you walk in, you have to sit there for a second.
And I mean, it's probably like 10 seconds. And that's
were saying like it was like 10 minutes or and maybe this is the way it used to be. Cause I had talked to somebody who was on there like years. It was like this, you walk in and they're doing the final setup, making sure mics all work. And it was like this 10 minutes where it was this awkward.
Oh yeah.
Awkward silence.
It was an awkward silence between the sharks and the entrepreneur. Yeah, no. You're like, so that's
actually
good.
At least
when you walked up, you were like, let's
go. Two doors. You knew that on TV. There's two doors. There's the first door and the second door. Yeah. So once, right before the first door opens, they're counting down like 10 seconds or so. And they tell you the cameras will not stop for any reason, because then it would take out the surprise element.
Yeah.
So I thought, okay, if I mess up, we're going to cut. No, there's no. And it's literally, it is a grander than life moment because the doors open and the first person is Mr. Wonderful.
Yeah.
And he was like
head in front of you.
Right. And he's like he can be intimidating, right? Because he's just no BS. He's I don't know how many pitches he's heard all day. Like he's get to the point, right?
Yeah.
And you walk up and then it's only a few seconds for the camera to just make its turn. And then you go and that's it. And you forget, you're cooked.
Yeah.
I mean, it's over.
Yeah, he seems
You have no idea what questions they're going to ask you.
Yeah.
You have no idea what to prepare for. And the funny thing is, I'm not the numbers person.
No.
I don't do the numbers.
Yeah. So she was like, and
the same applies.
You're like, where's my husband at, damn it?
It's funny. The same applies for my house. Like, yeah. I have no idea. Like, I don't pay the bills. Like, I have no idea. I just spend the money. And so I remember I called my husband because he wasn't there. You can only, whoever is on the set is the person that can be in the dressing room.
Wow. Okay.
And in the other girl, she had a new baby because she had just given birth. So the husband was there to take care of the baby or something. But I was there alone. So I remember I called my husband. I was like, hey, what's your evaluation? And how did you get to that number? And he was like, hun, you don't know this? I was like, no.
It's your job to know, Mario.
And so he was like, okay, this is it. And I was like, oh, I ain't going to remember that, dude. Yeah. And he was like, so I literally, I don't know. That's not my.
No.
Yeah.
That's not my thing. That's his thing. Yeah. So I was like, dude, if they start asking me, because I've seen episodes where somebody's so my evaluation is 1.5 million. And they're like, how did you get that based on? And then they can tell you exactly.
Yeah. Yeah.
And I'm like, if he asked me how I got my evaluation, I'm like, I don't know. You tell me.
I'd be like, out of my nalgas.
I'd be like, cats out of the bag.
Yeah. Yeah. Let
me throw the numbers out.
Yeah, that's about it right here.
What do you think it should be?
I'll tell you how many donuts I make and you tell me.
Wow.
Dude, I love it. I love it.
I have always, so I'm a huge Mark Cuban fan. So when you ended up getting with him, I thought that was really cool. He has done so much as far as the types of businesses he's invested in.
Supporting everything
else. But I will say, like, Mr. Wonderful seems, is he as intimidating in person as he had, comes off on TV? Because he does come, he's very, like, stone-faced, like, and he's to the fucking point.
Oh, yeah. He is like that. And there's a lot, so it's edited. So there's a lot you don't see from the taping, but I loved him because he's such a straight shooter. And I just almost felt like I feel like I had some street credit because he was like, this is a very good product. He's like, you don't know what you're doing, but it's a great product.
You don't know what you're doing?
He's like, Kimmy, you have no business plan. Yeah. It's a great product. And then I was like, freak, he's onto me.
Like you, it sounds like you walked into there and you were like, oh man, I don't know if I should be here.
So in the room, when I heard Ms.
$5 million,
I was like, what the heck am I doing here? But I was like, what the heck? I don't have anything to lose. Yeah. I'm here.
Yeah.
And I got one shot. And I'm telling you, Eminem
was like, he came in clutch. Yeah, yeah.
And I was like, I'm here. I'm going to make the best of it. Because I love my product. I just need more people to know about it. That's it. That's why it takes 5 years, they say. Yeah. It's because it takes you that long to get to the amount of people that you need to sustain your business. And so I'm like, I just need people to know about my product.
Yeah.
And so I'm like, I have just as much of a chance as this girl
as a $5 million.
Were you hoping for a deal from a specific shark as you go in, or you were just like, hey, whoever gives me the money.
I was told I was the wild card going into it.
Okay. Wow.
Okay. The producer said, we love you. We love your product, but we don't really put companies that have a store.
Mm.
Like, we put product.
Yeah.
And this is not something we normally do, but we love you and we love your product. We don't know if they're going to make a deal. Like, you have an uphill battle, they told us. But you might. Like, and because you're a wild card, we're just going to shoot the crap. And I was so grateful to be there. I didn't care who I made a deal with. I love Kendra Scott. Her story's amazing. When my stores, and again, I think it's God, but when I turned one, I bought myself the Kendra Scott biography book.
Mm.
She started selling store to store also.
Yeah.
She went from store to store selling her handmade jewelry. She started with $500. And my very first pop-up was a girl, Fit by Karina was her name, and she had an event outdoor in Belmont Park. And back then, that's where fitness events happen. You guys remember it was like outside.
Yeah.
Yep. So she had an event outside, and she had all these vendors sell like paintings, candles, whatever. One of those tables was a Kendra Scott table.
Oh, wow.
Okay. And I told this story on Shark Tank. it was that table. And at that point, I didn't really know Kendra Scott. And so I went up and I was like, hey, who is this girl? What? And it was like the stores, a lot of them had closed because of COVID. And so they were doing these pop-up events.
Yeah.
And so she told me the story of Kendra Scott. And when she told me the story, I was like, dude, I need some motivation. Yeah. And so I bought myself the book. So when I turned two, I filmed like a week after I turned 2 years old, my store turned two. When they told me that my judge was Kendra Scott, I felt like
full circle. It was a full circle moment.
Kind of this meant to be.
Yeah, 100%.
Right.
Everything is
God. How the hell does that happen?
God. Yeah.
Yeah.
And so in my heart, I was like, dude, it'd be awesome if I get a deal with Kendra Scott because it would be like, and so at some point she like juked me because she was like, I think she was more into me than anybody else on that panel. Like she was asking me all the questions. And at some point she's telling me like, I love you. I'm torn. And I'm like, dude, I love you too, girl. Let's make a deal. Right. I'm thinking we're going to make a deal. But then she's getting you in a store is not my wheelhouse. I don't know how to get into a grocery store. I don't have the connections that these guys have.
Yeah.
And so she's for that reason, I'm out. And I was like,
she's totally related to you. That whole story of you, like the relatability of not just woman entrepreneur, but Hispanic female entrepreneurs is, you're like 1% of the 1% of the 1% right now, girl. That's powerful. So she's definitely related to that big time.
Yeah, like she was crying.
Yeah.
Because in her book, she talks about that she also had to take care of her parents that got sick. Yeah. And so I'm telling her that I took care of my parents when I got sick. It was like a whole thing. She's crying. I'm crying. I was like, I was next to your table. We had a moment. So I was like, for sure, we're going to make a deal. And then she's like, then I started seeing everybody go out. Like Damon went out. And then I was like, oh my gosh.
You start panicking a little bit.
Yeah, I did. Yeah. I did.
But that's the thing, though. Damon only invests like clothing related stuff. That is his wheelhouse. Yeah. That's what he knows, like hands over fist. So I was like, I don't know. I don't think Damon's coming into this one.
Yeah.
Mr. Wonderful, I feel like he was there.
He's all.
And he was like, and then when he goes, how much have you made? I'm like 50,000. He goes, Kimmy, that's not a lot of money. He was like wrestling and he was just like, you just don't have a plan. He said, but I'll be a customer. I'm out. And I'm,
but you had a vision.
But then I was like, dang it, I'm losing everybody. And then I saw Market up and I was like, I went from getting deflated to this is it. Like this, I lost it. And then all of a sudden Mark got up and I was like, I stopped listening to Kevin and I was like, oh my gosh, is this really happening? And then I was like, I couldn't believe it. And I started crying, of course.
Because it's emotional. But you said at the beginning of the conversation, you haven't closed your deal, but what has changed for you in your business since being on the episode?
First of all, I went from, I think that week, what I had made in 2.5 years, I made like in 2 days.
Wow.
Oh, wow.
Wow. And so what does that do for you?
At that point, I didn't need them as investors anymore, right? Because I had already made the capital. But that's not why I was there. I was there for their knowledge, for their partnership. But really, it gave me the opportunity to invest. I was able, like, the tariffs are hitting me hard because I source my monk fruit is only grown in China. It's grown in Asia. So I'm able to invest to get more product in my store. And I was able to keep the doors open. Right? Yeah. I was going to close before that. Yeah. I was able to keep my doors open. I was able to do a lot without a partner yet. So so many people know about it. Yeah. Like I'm in talks right now with grocery stores, looking into awarding some franchises for my business. Hopefully we'll be opening in LA and San Jose and some grocery stores. And I have a distributor in Australia that would like to carry it internationally.
So are you still making all the donuts there? Or are you?
I'm the only baker.
Really?
And so
my recipe's here.
But is that by design too, that you just keep being the sole baker?
So I am. Okay. Yes.
So now I got operational questions, dude.
The thing is, there's a lot of things that I do have people do. But the baking, I know eventually one day that'll have to change, especially if I open franchises. But right now, it's a recipe that I created. I came up with it myself. Yeah. So it's not written down. You can't steal it. Nobody can come get it.
Some of the best foods that we were just, and I'm OCD too.
So yeah. I'm like, I have to have perfection. So I can't really give that up right now. So I've shipped out all the Shark Tank orders already. Like, it took me like 6 months to get them out. It was so many. And one baker.
Yeah.
Yeah.
You made a post and I was like, holy crap. She must be being inundated with all kinds of orders right now. And I saw you carrying like a cart. Of nothing but donuts.
Yeah.
Dude, how long did it take you to get all those orders out?
6 months.
Six months? Mm-hmm. Wow.
But baking thousands and thousands and thousands.
Like, how many donuts can you make out of that one retail right now?
Oh, I can make a lot.
Really?
I can make a lot, but it's just like I have to be there all day. I got to take my kids to school. So I take my kids to school. I come back and I bake and then I pick them up and then I come back and bake. And yeah.
It's, wow. That's crazy.
I know eventually I'm going to, I have to give up. And there's ways that I've designed where I don't have to. It's almost like Kentucky Fried Chicken. Like they give you the spices. They don't give you the.
That's what Coca-Cola does too. So nobody knows what's in Coca-Cola. They give you part one and part two. It's literally two vats. And one comes from one part of the country and the other one comes from the other part of the country. And then they come together and a bottler puts it together. So nobody knows.
So like, that's what I'm going to do. So I'm going to do everything and then just give my franchisees the ingredients, but not the recipe.
Right. Not the formula.
How does, how much of your business is shipping to different locations? Are people online shipping versus like in store? Have you seen the online orders peak up because of Shark Tank, I guess?
So when business is just never linear, right? It's all over the place. Because of Shark Tank, though, I got thousands of orders.
How are you getting these orders? Like you were just caught online?
No. So I have an online store.
Okay.
Yeah.
So people are buying it from my online store. And when I released my Shark Tank, I only released two flavors.
Yeah.
So people could only buy two flavors.
Yeah.
Because I had to make sure that I can send them out. And then they chose my episode to re-air. The only episode they chose to re-air mine like a few weeks ago. So then I got
another spike again.
I will say though, ordering food from all over parts of the country is a huge thing at this point. Like I ordered Chicago style pizza a lot.
From where?
Fucking Chicago, man.
Bro!
Illuminati,
from
buddy.
New York. Dude. I mean, come on.
So you get fucking Chicago pizza? Shipped to your house, bro?
Yeah.
Dude, you got problems, bro.
It's a huge thing.
I went on Gold Belly because I wanted to see how other people were shipping donuts.
Yeah.
So I went on Gold Belly.
I went
on Gold Belly to try to get donuts. So I ordered from two places, one New York and one, I don't know, somewhere else. But it was like in the East Coast. And I'm like, I want to see how these donuts come, right? Because I take a lot of care in my packaging. I put in a little container, make sure that it doesn't get smashed. I do all kinds of stuff. I put a little pink raffia and a pink postcard. I do all kinds. And it's a pink box. My shipping costs a lot of money. So I'm like, okay, they're on Gold Belly. I'm sure it's like ridiculous packaging. I get these donuts, okay? I paid $80 for maybe six donuts.
What?
Okay, wait. That's not the kicker.
Fuck.
It came in a regular donut box, in that cardboard donut box. Yeah. Each donut was wrapped in wax paper. That's it. No card, no instruction, no nothing. I was like, why are my customers complaining about my packaging?
Yeah.
I should take a picture of this crap that I got 100%.
Delivered.
Dude. We've ordered cookies. We've ordered donuts from New York. And I will agree with you. Like, you get them and you're just like,
what did I pay
$80
for?
Exactly. Why this packaging? Why not put more love into this thing? Like somebody from California just ordered your product to go all the way across the country. Like why?
Fuck out of here, dude.
So I'm actually dropping a subscription program. It's going to start soon because I have customers all the time that are like, dude, I want to order monthly. But so now I'm dropping, it's like a whole thing, but I ordered like new packaging, new boxes to make it more of an experience.
Yeah.
So I'm like, I know the crap that people deliver. I'm going to stand out from this. So
have you not ordered anything online for like other
than not pizza
bro,
and not donuts?
I'm not going online to order a donut, bro. That's not going to happen.
You haven't had a donut,
I live in Oceanside. I'm straight. I'll drive to the store.
You haven't had an inkling to like something from the East Coast, you can't get in the West Coast.
Maybe we're like shopping addicts.
No, maybe we
I bought way too much stuff on the
I know his wife. She told me to talk to you about your shoe addiction, bro.
Guilty.
So I'm going to be like, yo, bro, no, I don't have that problem. No, I have never,
I tell you
never
what,
in my mind have I, has it crossed my mind to go order a pizza from Chicago.
I'm going to get you and Suzette's Chicago style pizza. Dude, please. I'm going to get it delivered to your house.
Wait, so I got so many questions now, bro.
Dude, it's so good.
That has nothing to do with donuts.
No. I'm like, so, dude. Yeah, I'm going to digress from this conversation right now because I'm getting like, who the fuck orders pizza from Chicago, dude, to get it shipped?
Guilty, right here.
I get donuts that are only made in Oceanside.
I'm research and development, okay?
Yeah.
I don't know. Sometimes.
I'm not just ordering it for fun. Mind you, my kids threw it away. I was like, eat this stuff. I paid a lot of money. Yeah.
It's an $80 donut.
Like, they were like, they looked at it and they're like,
dude, what the hell?
It's wrapped in like wax paper. Yeah. Like it didn't even look nice. And my kids like, yeah, no, I don't want it. And it was dry.
Yeah. So of course. You're doing everything now online. You're doing all this stuff. You're packaging. You're doing research and development and ordering donuts from New York. Did you find a way to make it a little easier on yourself from a shipping perspective?
I love what I do.
Yeah.
So it doesn't.
I can tell.
It doesn't. Like every morning I get up, I love doing it. I love doing research and development. I love making my boxes. Like I design all my stuff. Like I love doing it. I actually did find a better way to ship, basically. Mm-hmm. If I told you, I'd have to kill you. But no.
You tell offline.
Listen, I listen to a lot of podcasts. I listen to a lot of people that I admire. I remember one time somebody told me recently, somebody said, you know what? Maybe you're not meant to be a national brand. Maybe you're just meant to be local.
Oh, fuck that.
Okay. And somebody that's really important told me that. And so they were telling me this. I felt pity for myself. I was like, you're right. And I listened to that. I was like, yeah, you're right. And I told my husband, yeah, I think we're just meant to be local. Like, and my husband was like, okay, whatever you want to do. And then 3 days later, I listened to the Facebook guy. Come on, guys, help me
Mark
out.
Mark Zuckerberg.
Oh. And he said, when I started Facebook, I didn't know how to build a dam. I didn't know how to get people together, let alone a million people. He's like, when you are in the process, you will figure it out. Start. A lot of people don't start because they don't have everything figured out.
Amen.
Just start.
Yeah.
And you'll figure it out.
Just take that first step.
Yeah.
And so I was like, you know what? I'm going to prove to myself that I'm not a local brand.
Mm.
And I'm going to figure this out.
Mm.
And so that's what my quest is. I'm out to prove a point that I'm not a...
I hear you talk, Kim, I feel like there's a chip on your shoulder. And I think great entrepreneurs always have one. And it's not a bad thing. I don't want to say that. Oh, people are walking around with a chip on their shoulder. No, you're walking around like a chip on their shoulder. What is truly capable here? I'm going to show myself that this is going to be a national brand, a global brand. Who knows? Well, maybe eating donuts in China.
Have you shipped international?
So to my Australia potential partner, where I'm shipping next week, yeah.
Oh, cool. That's going to be huge, dude.
We'll see.
All from.
I just have to show, I have to prove to myself that I'm not just a local brand. And maybe I am, but we'll never know if I don't try.
I don't think you're a local brand at all.
I'm just curious about the monk fruit.
Yes.
And being that it comes from China, I assume you have to order so much at a certain time. Are you now ordering even more than what you would normally
do? I'm ordering pallets.
Okay. Wow.
It all fits in that little store? Good Lord.
It's because the store is quite deceiving, okay?
It is. Like,
it is.
It's very, yes.
The front is small, but I got a really big, I have a walk-in freezer, a walk-in fridge. I have a lot of space. And so we make it work, dude. Mexican people, we can get 12 people.
Yeah. We can put 20 people in a Pinto, bro.
I remember Mark's team was like, how are you going to make all the donuts out of that little place? Because I had to send a video. I was like, dude.
Watch out, check me out.
So has Lori been to the store?
They have not been to the store. No, I've just, so she's out of Chicago.
Yeah.
She does come to LA every so often, like when she films, but she's, you know.
Yeah, she's a Midwesterner.
I've sent videos of what the store looks like. I've sent it to Mark. They have not been to the store, no.
Yeah.
No. They're not back there making donuts, no. So a lot of people come. They're like, "Is Mark back there?" Yeah. Mark,
and I'm yeah,
like,
"Right, yes,
no,
I definitely don't see him." Yeah,
is Lori out there? Of- yeah, I'm like, full of flowers. Is Mark back there? I'm like, no, Mark.
No,
is
you got
not
flour
here.
On your face. Yeah.
How many donuts are you gonna?
Yeah, yeah, exactly.
I might.
All right. So
speaking of donuts.
Before we get into this, I want the big picture dream.
Ooh,
no
yeah.
limitations.
Yeah.
If you had a magic wand today, and I want to cry for you right now because I know where you came from and how you guys got started. If you had a magic wand today, where do you see donuts?
I'll tell you what's on my vision board that my kids see every day. I'm in Whole Foods and I've opened a store in LA. And I'm cutting the ribbon in Whole Foods, Erewhon, Jimbo's is my top three stores that I want to get into. And having at least a store in LA and Arizona is my thing.
How was the, didn't you say Costco was looking at the product too or no?
Yeah. So, the commitment that Costco wants.
Mm. Yeah, which is always crazy.
Okay.
It's asinine.
Bro. It's ridiculous.
Yes.
I would have to, get a warehouse. It's just, it's definitely maybe down the road, but the advice that I got from Lori was, we're not there yet. Then. First, I have to start off a little smaller because you got one chance to start at Costco, right?
Yeah.
And so if I'm not there yet.
If you're not there, Costco will then be like, no.
Then I lost my shot. So the door's open, but I'm reserving that for now because I wouldn't be able to satisfy my local customers because I'd be so busy. Mm-hmm. I love my local customers. Yeah. They are my bread and butter.
You worked your butt off to get them too.
Yeah, because this was actually not my ideal. My biggest market was never San Diego. Mm-hmm. I've always sold way more in San Jose and LA. People would wait at 3 a.m. to get donuts for me at 5:00. There would be, I have pictures, I can't show you the gym, but I have pictures where it's like, there's a line and they're just waiting. I couldn't even unpack the donuts from my car because it would just sell out. So I know that if I open up in LA and in the Bay Area, I know it would do very well. I actually have people that fly in from the Bay Area all the time to just buy stuff.
Wow.
You are a national brand. I'm speaking into existence. I think you're going to be a global brand, in my opinion. But
I don't know, guys. There may have to be a part two.
Yeah, baby. I love it. Go. All right. So now.
So.
Oh, wait. I want to take a video.
Yeah. Okay,
so
are you going to be Mr.
Kimmy
Wonderful?
Brought us some donuts.
So you were gracious enough to bring a donut for us.
I did.
So we are now, Omar and I both have had the product. Love the product.
I've eaten it 10 times.
Yeah. So, and look at the,
look at that. America. Okay,
so what flavor do I got here?
Okay, this is our classic glazed.
Classic
glazed.
So, all right,
let's take a little flag off.
So,
right, here we go.
Yeah, the flag is not edible.
Yeah, the flag is not edible.
I would have ate it. You would have, all right, here we go. You ready?
Yeah, let's do this.
Let's go.
Oh, my God.
This is so good.
Mr. Wonderful is correct. This does not taste like shit.
Love it.
I love every bit of it. My favorite flavor that I've ever had of yours is the red velvet.
First of all, sorry for anybody on the podcast listening to this that doesn't like to listen to people eat.
You're not going to stop eating it.
I'm not going to stop eating it. It's delicious.
I'll tell you, my top selling flavor right now, the peach cobbler, I'm telling you, I feel like I need to get that one in stores.
Yeah.
It is to die for. I've been eating it every morning. I'm like, what am I going to do next week when I don't have it anymore? But my coffee cake is probably signature.
Yeah.
Mm. Yeah.
No, it's more. So if I wanted to get OTH on a subscription-based delivery, I'd be able to do that today.
Oh, so subscription is not available for local customers.
Got it.
Subscription.
Just go your ass to the store. Pick up some donuts.
Come on, bro.
Subscription is only for my online customers. Yeah, because in essence, what happens is they're shipping some states pay up to $30.
Ooh.
Which is crazy for shipping.
Yeah.
Because they have to get it within 2 days. So it's air. It's a big deal. So in the subscription, depending on what plan they get, it's almost free.
There you go.
So yeah, it's for, but my local customers, they have to come visit me.
I will.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Go see the pink store.
Yeah, I know. Really? I know.
We're going to go.
It's decked out on the inside. It is
decked out and it has all the Shark Tank pictures on the wall. Yeah. I was recently on Forbes magazine.
What? Oh, I saw that. Congratulations. I was on Forbes. That's awesome.
And so that's on the wall. I was on the San Diego Business Journal. That's on the wall.
Yeah. Get you.
Man, we got somebody famous.
Yeah, famous in here, bro. Hey, we started from the bottom, now we're here. Wait.
I know we got to wrap this up, but this is a funny story. So my husband, he's so not in this business. He's a big deal in the education side. So some school calls him and says, hey, we're going to do a career day, right? Ooh. And we're going to do a career day panel. My husband is very smart. He has a master's degree. So he's, wow, they want me to be on this career panel. And it's one of his biggest San Diego districts, right? Sweetwater. And so they're like, yeah, Mario's, we wanted to know if your wife could join us.
Hey, this is a big deal, bro. This is a big deal. Because if you ever, like, maybe part two is with both of them in the same room, bro. I'm telling you.
he is a good time. He's funny as heck. Yeah. And so then he was like, yeah. And he's like, because she's like a San Diego celebrity. You know, she's like a local. She was on Shark Tank. Yeah. We think our kids would love to see her on the panel, talk about her experience. And he's like, hey, I'll tell her. And he goes, hey, so.
You want me instead?
He goes, hey, my district called me. They're going to do a career day. I was like, oh, that's awesome. Congratulations. He's like, yeah, they don't want me. Like, they asked me if I could ask you to join the panel. And I was like, oh.
Bro, if we had both if Mario and Tim in the same I think my stomach would hurt, bro. They're fucking hilarious. I could not even have them in class, bro. When I was coaching them, I'm like, dude, this is going to be a funny class, bro. Yeah. So that's awesome, dude. Kim, I truly wish national product vibes on you.
Oh, thank you.
And nothing but blessings. Thank you.
So TH fam, come visit me.
Yes. Oh, I'm going to bring some. We're going to get there. We're going to get through there. Yeah.
Awesome.
The OTH fam was there going to show up in numbers. A lot of our OTH members actually have gone to
bought
from you.
They do. They're and so awesome. They're, yes.
But they
do.
They were like, that day that the show was aired, they're like, did you see? That's all we talked about every class. It was like, hey, did you see? And I was like, yes, I saw. Yes.
And what was really cool is that my past life, the other gyms that I went to, which will remain anonymous, like so many of like franchise owners, they like reposted on their Instagram. They were like, we love you. And you're like, this is amazing. And so it almost was like, okay. Yeah. Like,
you did it.
I almost feel redeemed after that.
Yeah. You did it. And I know the story behind the story. And
it was redemption.
It's redemption for sure, Kim. And I'm going to tell you, no sweeter victory than that.
Yeah.
So keep going.
Thank you for having me. This was awesome.
Thank you so much for coming in and bringing us a donut. Us a
snack. I was hungry too.
Yeah. I could just kind of smell it over here.
I wish I had a cup of coffee. Thank you so much, Kim.
All right.
This has been an international podcast transmission of No Fixed Agenda presented by Bubs Naturals. Music was provided by The Poor Dirty Astronauts with lyrics written by Matt Meyer. You can rate, review, and subscribe to our podcast on Apple, Spotify, Amazon, or wherever you find your favorite podcast episodes. NFA, over and out.